First Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, enable us to see how You would have us to live in this life and how You would have us to look to You as our great God and Savior. Look to You as the one who will give us the strength to come through the many battles that we face in this world, to withstand what Satan puts up against us. Lord, enable us to take this word to heart, to apply it to our lives, and to grow in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sharon takes kittens in from Lollipop Farms. I think that's right. Lollipop? Okay. And they're really young ones. They're too young to go out. But you see quickly how kittens like to, and cats like to, prowl around. And if they get near their dog Oakley's tail, they'll prowl around and they'll look around and see if he's moving or see if he's watching, and then all of a sudden they'll pounce. Now, the kittens look pretty cute doing that. Now imagine a lion doing the same thing out in whatever they're in, prowling around and then pouncing and taking. Lions usually go after game that's much, much bigger than them, but they bring them down and they have a pretty good meal afterward. Peter warns us about the roaring lion that is out there prowling around to get us. As we look at this passage, and I'll just be dealing with verses 8 and 9 today, as we look at this passage, he first of all tells us to watch out. The lion is out there prowling, and he calls us to take our stand. Watch out. The lion is prowling. Take your stand. Now, this comes after the passage that we talked about last week. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may lift you up or exalt you, casting all your anxieties upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. We have a God who cares. And we need to look to Him, constantly look to Him, for our strength, for what will take us through this life and on into the next, for how to deal with the many situations that we find ourselves in this life. God cares for us. But as we look at the passage that we're talking about today, someone else cares about us. Not in a good way. Someone else cares about us because they want to bring us down. They want to take us down and away from our Lord. They want to get us off the track and take us to a different place. Watch out for this one. He starts out, be sober-minded. In verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Now, Peter's used this sober-minded a couple times before. Over in chapter 1, verse 13, he said, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be looking at where you're headed. Don't just look at the things that are around you. Be looking at where you're headed. Be sober-minded in that. It started out being not drunk with wine, but it came to mean clear-headed, thinking clearly. Think clearly about what's around you. Realize that you have a God who cares for you in heaven. And that should impact every single step of your life, every decision that you make. You have a God that cares for you, and you should recognize that and live that out. So chapter 1, verse 13 was one place he used it. Over in 4, verse 7, he used it again. The end of all things is near. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The end of all things is near. Realize that this world is not the end. There's something more after it. Realize that the things that we do here are for God's honor and glory, and He's using us in this world to bring people to Himself, but He is also taking us to Himself, and He will give us a life with Him for all eternity. What a blessing. Realize that the end is near. Have that mind so that you can take all that comes in this life and go forward. Well, we're to be sober-minded and be watchful. Now, this is just to be awake. Anyone sleeping out there? Hopefully not yet. During my sermons, sometimes people will drift off, but hopefully not yet. Be awake, okay? Wake up. Jesus used this a lot as he went through his ministry to wake up. Make sure that you are awake to the things that were around you. One place was in Matthew 24, and I like to read there verses 36 to 44. Matthew 24, beginning in verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. This is the day that Jesus will come again and take us all to be with Him for all eternity. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Jesus calls us to be ready for His coming. It could happen at any time. We're told that He will come in the clouds and He will gather His saints to them. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are still living on the earth will be called up to be with Him. And that's when He's going to judge the world and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. As we look forward to that day, be ready for it. Stay awake. Realize that it is coming and be ready for it. Another time when this word is used of being awake is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus takes His disciples out, and they stay in one place. He calls Peter, James, and John to Him, and He takes them out to where He will be praying, and He asks them to stay awake. What did they do? As He's praying, fervently, so fervently He's sweating drops of blood. He's praying that God, if there be any other way to save His people from their sins, that the cup will be taken from Him. He's praying fervently. And in the end part of His prayer, He looks back And what are Peter, James, and John doing? Sleeping. They couldn't stay awake. When Peter uses this word, I think probably that's in his mind. Stay awake. Be watchful. Watch out. So what do we watch? Well, one thing is Christ's coming. Now, many times that staying awake is used, it's talking about the second coming. It's talking about Him coming to gather His people together. So that's one thing. But the other way it's used is for the testing of your faith. The many things that take place in this world so that your faith is tested, refined like gold. So that your faith, and Peter's talked a lot about that, you've heard a lot about that over the last few months, your faith is tested. So that you're refined like gold. You're disciplined as sons. What son is there that the Father does not discipline? We wouldn't be sons unless we saw His discipline. He wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to continue to draw closer to Him, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So the testing of our faith can come. And what are we watching for then? We're watching out for internal desires, the sin that all of us have when we're born. We're born in sin. And until we become a new man in Christ, until we have that new birth of the Holy Spirit coming in and changing us, then our life continues in that sin. But from that time on, if you know Christ, if the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart so that you are born again, so that your heart of stone has been turned to a heart of flesh, then now you're putting on Christ. Are those sinful desires still there? Yes, they are. And they need to be put into their place and controlled so that we can honor the Lord with our lives, so we can put on the new life. So part of it is our sinful desires. That's something we need to watch out for and guard against. Another thing, though, and what Peter will go to, is demonic attack. There are spiritual forces of wickedness in this world, and we need to be ready for them. We need to be watching for them. And the other testing of our faith might be persecution, assaults from the outside, people assaulting us. Remember that not everything that happens to you that's bad comes from Satan, but some of it does. And we need to be watchful for all of the various things that come against us to draw us away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So watch out! Because the lion is prowling. Notice the end of verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The devil. Now, in the Hebrew, and sometimes we'll see Satan, and sometimes we'll see the devil. Satan is just a transliteration of the Hebrew word that usually meant adversary or opponent. And so it came to be used of that angel that fell from heaven and is seeking to work against God. So, we'll sometimes see Satan, and other times we'll see the Greek diabolical is the word that comes into our English. And we translate it when it's of the person, it's the devil. He's diabolical, the devil. He is also your adversary. He's your opponent in a lawsuit. He's the opponent that keeps coming at you. He's the accuser, it's said elsewhere. Your adversary, the devil. Couple times where we see him in action. In Job, he comes up to God and says, you know, Job's just taking care of you because of all the things that you give him. And so God tests Job and takes everything away, and Job still trusts in God. In Zechariah chapter 3, and I'd like to read from there, we also see Satan. We also see the devil coming out against God's people. Ezekiel Zechariah, sorry. Zechariah, I knew I was going to that place for some reason. Zechariah chapter 3, I'd like to read there. Then he showed me Joshua. And this Joshua isn't the Joshua who fought the Battle of Jericho, but it's the Jeshua of Ezra and Nehemiah. He's a priest in God's... he's a priest of God. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem." Who has chosen Jerusalem? "Rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from a fire?" Now Joshua is standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. Now, if someone came in here clothed with filthy garments, what would you think? What would you do? Well, here, there's a man standing with filthy garments, and the angel of the Lord says that he's a brand plucked from the fire. Now Joshua is standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you shall rule my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch. For behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." As Jesus Christ comes, he fulfills this prophecy in Zechariah. As Christ comes as the branch, as the one who would save his people from their sins, as the one who would give us those new clothes, guess what? Now Zechariah says, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree. As you recognize the peace that God gives, the wonderful peace of having your sins forgiven, I hope that you reach out and bring others in. Because that's part of what the fulfillment of this prophecy is about. Bring others in to know the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ as you come up against Satan, as you come up against your adversary, the devil. Revelation 12, I'll just read a couple of verses there. Revelation 12, verses 10 to 12, also talks about this same idea. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." This is talking about Satan. This is talking about the devil who's prowling around like a lion seeking to devour you. With Jesus Christ, Satan is thrown down. "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice that Jesus has given, by his shed blood on the cross. Satan is thrown down. And by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." The devil is prowling, looking for you. He's prowling around like a roaring lion. Now, as a lion prowls, he's going around, and usually he's silent as he's doing that, because he wants to sneak up on his prey. But there's a couple times when he'll roar. One time he roars is after he pounces, and he's got it down, and then he'll get out a roar, give out a roar, so everyone for 5 miles around, a lion's roar can be heard by a human for 5 miles. Actually, a lion's hearing is a little better, so it probably goes further than that for the lions. But he'll let out a roar so that everyone knows that he has the victory. So Satan's prowling around like a roaring lion. Another reason that he will roar is if he's coming up on a herd of something. And there are just too many, because if he knows if he goes in, they might help each other. So the lion will roar to scatter the herd, and then they'll pounce on the weakest ones. Does Satan do that to us too? Give out a roar to scatter the herd, to scatter the flock, and then pounce on the ones that he knows he can get to. Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Devour here is literally, it's to drink down. So it's the picture of a beast swallowing its prey in one gulp. It was used of Jonah as he comes up to the sea creature that swallows him and swallows him whole. So he's in the gut, in the belly of the whale, or the belly of the sea creature, and he's whole, and he then is spit out onto the ground so that he survives and can go to Nineveh. To swallow something whole, that's what Satan's trying to do. He's going around trying to swallow you whole. He's also called the destroyer in Revelation 9:11. They have as a king over them the angel, the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it's called Apollyon, both of those meaning destroyer. He tries to destroy us. He tries to destroy our testimony before the people who are around us. He tries to destroy our hope in our loving Savior, in the God who cares for us. He tries to destroy our holiness, taking us off the path that God wants us to be on. He tries to destroy our lives. Now, sometimes it's a frontal assault. Sometimes it's a covert operation, you know, spies and things like that. So sometimes he comes right at us, and sometimes he's like a spy. We need to know our adversary. Now, if you watched the Syracuse game last night, anyone watch the Syracuse game? I figured there was at least one hand in here that watched that. If you watched the Syracuse game last night against Seton Hall. Now, Seton Hall didn't come into that game without checking out Syracuse pretty well, knowing how they worked. Probably looking at the game films of the Connecticut game where Connecticut dismantled Syracuse. Probably looking at those game films over and over again to see how they could win too. But Syracuse won because they were probably doing the same thing. Know your enemy. Know what Satan tries to use to get at you, to work at you. Some things, some of his tactics are frontal assault, outright persecution, traps, snares that he puts in our way. But often it's covert methods, making you too busy to do anything for your Lord, making you too comfortable to do anything for your Lord. There's lots of ways that Satan can work to keep God's people from doing what God is calling them to do. Are you too busy? Are you too comfortable to do what God wants? Sometimes it's a wrong assessment of our gifts. Every one of you has been given a gift to be used for His service, to be used for the building up of His people. Every one of you that calls on the name of Christ, make sure you're using those gifts. Make sure you're doing the things that God is calling you to do by using the gifts that He's given you for His purposes. Sometimes it's seemingly harmless relationships that we become involved in that take us away from where we need to be. There are many things that Satan uses to get in our way. We need to be watching for them, realizing that he's prowling around like a roaring lion trying to devour us? Are you aware of the spiritual forces around you, both to your good? God cares for you. Remember that. Both for your good and to draw you away. Satan prowling around like a roaring lion to put you off the task that God has given you. Watch out. Be prepared for the attack. He is out there prowling. And then take your stand. Stand against him. Verse 9 in 1 Peter 3, 5. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Take your stand. Literally, the resist him here is stand against him. James 4, 6 uses the same one. I'll read 6 to 8. But he gives more grace. God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist. Stand against the devil. And what will happen? You know this verse? And he will flee from you. It's funny that when it calls us to stand against him, it's not our running away, but it's Satan running away from us because we're standing firm. We're doing what God has called us to do, standing firm, standing against him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Also in Ephesians 6, verse 10, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. And then Paul goes on to the full armor of God and all the parts of that. How do we stand? How do we stand up against Satan? By staying firm in our faith, Peter says. Know who your God is. You may have noticed as I read the passages that talked about resisting Satan or standing up against Satan, they usually speak about humbling ourselves before our God and then trusting in him. Trusting in his grace. Trusting in what he has done for us. Relying upon his strength and grace, and then using the grace that he gives us to stand firm. Know your God. Put your trust in him. When we stand firm, it's like being placed on a firm foundation, and 2 Timothy 2:19 uses that. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The Lord knows who are his. And he's bringing us to himself. He's drawing us near to him as we humble ourselves before him, as we trust in his grace, as we look to that God who cares for us. Remember, too, that you're not suffering alone. The last part of that verse, resist him firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Every Christian is being persecuted in some way. Every Christian is being, the devil is out there. His heart's sinful desires are out there. There's persecution from outside. Every single Christian faces some sort of suffering as they live their lives before Jesus Christ for his honor and glory. Realize that. The same things are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. That should give you encouragement to stand firm because God is caring for all of us. And he's drawing us closer to himself. We're not suffering alone. God is faithful. He will enable us to stand. And notice, I'm not bringing in verse 10, but notice it says, after you have suffered for a little while. It's short. the time is short that we're here on the earth. After we've suffered for a little while, then we will see God's dominion coming to full bloom. Follow the example of our Lord. He was tempted by Satan, and what did he do? He responded with God's word. He knew God's word, and he responded with it. Follow his example and stand firm. So as you look at this passage, go over it again a few times, the whole passage, remembering that God cares for you, but remembering too that there are enemies of God out there, spiritual enemies of God, seeking to draw you away from Him. Satan is out there prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he might devour. Don't be devoured. Stand firm. Resist him. Stand firm in what God has given you. Watch out. The lion is prowling. Take your stand. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray that each of us will be able to take our stand in this world, trusting in you, relying upon you, looking to your strength to live this life that you've given us. Enable us to understand your gospel, that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins, and he gives us a life to live for him. And Lord, help us then to live out what you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.